We're going to our Bibles together to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 5. And we're just going to read the first 11 verses in this passage tonight, Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose and wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her with her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. Why do I say that? Because it's the only hope for Canada. If ever do we have a true morality, true security, truth abounding, when there's be justice and godliness in this nation, then there must be a mass returning to the Word of God. And that's because there is power in the Word of God. When Jacob DeShazer went as one of Jimmy Doolittle's raiders on Japan in April 18, 1942, he was an atheist. He was captured and imprisoned by the Japanese. He saw two of his companions shot by a firing squad. He saw another die of slow starvation. During the long months, he pondered the question of why the Japanese hated him and why he hated them. He began to recall some of the things he had heard about Christianity. Boldly, he asked his jailers if they could get him a Bible. At first, they laughed boisterously, as at a good joke that grew ugly, and warned him to stop making a nuisance of himself. But he kept on asking. A year and a half later, May 1944, a guard brought him a Bible, flung it at him and said, 3 weeks you have. 3 weeks, then I take away. True to his word, in 3 weeks the guard took the Bible away, and DeShazer never saw it again. In 1948, DeShazer, his wife, and infant son were on their way back to Japan as missionaries, all because he asked for a Bible, and a Japanese guard gave him one for 3 weeks. I trust that you will discover the power of the Bible. I throw out my Bible challenge to you today to read the Bible for 1 month. Start in John's Gospel, because there you have the revelation of the Lord Jesus revealing his Father. And then go to the book of Romans. Romans is the road of redemption. And there you will have revealed not just the facts of Jesus' death, but the why of Jesus' death, that we may be justified by faith through his blood. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and today we're coming again to God's precious word. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, those that, well, you'll learn today just how sad that history is.
Acts 5, and this account of Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, who dug themselves into awful trouble through a big lie. A big lie. This is a bit like the Garden of Eden all over again, where a husband and wife contrive to disobey God, and they pay a fatal price, the price of death. The fourth chapter here in the book of Acts ends with noted generosity. There were those who sold their possessions, and they gave the money to the apostles, laying at their feet to be used in the work of God. And it always takes money in God's work. God's work can never go forward without financial assistance. That's just a fact. And of course, through the years, there have been all kinds of problems with people and money and how that money is used and distributed. Now, sadly, this has been twisted to support communism. This whole idea of people selling their possessions and giving the money to the apostles to do the work of the gospel. And of course, communism is the notion that no individual should have title to anything. Everything should belong to the state. And it's the notion that it is wrong to have your name on a property title, and that square, that property belongs to you. And so they come to a passage like this here in Acts chapter 4. And of course, they see, well, the Bible teaches that you should sell all your possessions and you should give it all away and not claim it as your own. Well, firstly, this is not communism, because firstly, it was voluntary. It was something that these converts wanted to do, and they did it without being commanded or instructed. They felt compelled that they would personally have a part in the support of the ministry. Now, they sold their possessions. That means there was a transfer of title. That means that whatever property was in their name, then when it was sold, it went into someone else's name. That's not communism. That is still land title. That is property being owned by an individual. And it was the money that they brought and laid at the apostles' feet. Now, this giving of possessions was not taught in the New Testament epistles. This is not something that continued right through the church. You don't read of Paul writing to any Christian or church telling them that they should sell all and give their goods to the church. Now, they had various forms of tithing and giving for the work of God. Paul commanded that on the first day of the week they should lay up in store according to how the Lord had blessed them and prospered them. When there was a need in a time of famine, there were collections taken up by the churches to support those that were in need. There was never an edict that went out that everybody should sell everything and that they should not have any title to any property at all. Now, ownership through inheritance or personal hard work is commended in the Bible. We see that in the book of Proverbs, We see that in various situations and transactions where God blessed people with goods, livestock, servants, and through industry and careful management, with God's blessing, they seemed to prosper. Now, we today in the Church of the Lord Jesus must not follow this practice that was taken here in the early church. And we must not jump on the bandwagon, so to speak, and say, well, this is the way we'll run our church, and this is the way we'll expect all Christians to give up their belongings and titles and sell it and give the money to the church. Now, here in Acts 5, we have a unique case of one man and one woman who faked giving. They faked that they were magnanimous, generous givers. Now, no doubt they saw what others were doing and how they were commended for it, and they saw this is the way to be in. It is the way to be included in the fellowship of the saints and get a big name. And so they sold land and they brought only part of the seal, part of the value, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And because of the lie saying that they gave everything, making a big impression on everyone, well, we know the result, that both Ananias and his wife fell dead right there at the apostles' feet. And they stand as a warning that there should be nothing that is fake in the New Testament church. And through this incident, the fear of God fell upon the whole body of the church. And Ananias and Sapphira stand today as a warning. Do not fake your faith, and do not make a profession based on a lie. Now, it's very interesting to note how this chapter begins. It begins with "but." Matthew Henry calls this the melancholy "but." It is the downward spiral of a church up until now. There seem to be no problems. There seemed to be abounding growth. And there were no funerals to this point. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira. And this changed the whole dynamic of the church. This is the first sin, the first death, the first discipline, if you will. And as I said earlier, it very much reminds us of what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, who were deceived and they lied about it. And of course, they were put out under the sentence of death through the sin that they committed in the garden. And so tonight we want to look at where they went wrong and what we can learn from this sin of Ananias and Sapphira. So firstly, we see their fake motive to give. And he seems to truly jump on the bandwagon. He wanted to be seen as an outstanding supporter of the church. If you go back to chapter 4:34, you'll see how that there were many people, as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And so Ananias and Sapphira said, well, let's get a name for ourselves. Let's do what others are doing, and we will have recognition for selling and giving to the church. And this is what they did. Now, if all had gone well, we would consider this to be exemplary. They might get an honorable mention for the tremendous assistance that their giving was to the work of the church. And outwardly, from a distance, their motive was just like the others. They wanted to help. They wanted to do something of a generous nature. But in reality, they were interested in their own honor, and rather than the welfare of the gospel, They were serving self. And here is the heart of the problem. And so they were following a trend that was good in itself, but they did it with the wrong motive and the very wrong idea. Now, how can we detect when we have the wrong motive, or an individual has the wrong motive and their generosity is counterfeit? How can we discern this? Well, number one, has it as its motive the praise of men more than the approval of God? Secondly, does it aim chiefly at making a big impression upon people? And thirdly, does it aim to give in such a way as shall most advertise the donor? When I was at Surrey Hospital this week, I saw a few names on the walls, and these were people who had contributed significant donations. And of course, their name is now honored on the wall of the hospital in a public manner. Would we do that as a church? Would we want this wall to be your wall because you've done something very special in giving financially to the support of the church? And then, of course, is it always trying to get credit for giving more than it actually is given? That was the crime of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, the Lord Jesus had taught on this, and he said in Matthew 6:2, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee." And I'm quite capable of thinking that that's what the Pharisees and Jews, many of them, did when they were going to to do something very big and significant. They would have made a lot of noise, drawing attention to themselves as they did it. And the Lord Jesus said, "Do not as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." In other words, don't advertise it. Don't spread it abroad with great advertising, but rather do it quietly and let the Lord be honored and let your part be quiet. Now, we learn from this incident how serious fake motives in the church really are. I think we would say, well, you know, they may not have given all of the money. They may have been a little bit too much fanfare, but after all, it was good. What they did was still measurably good. Therefore, let it go. Well, God didn't. God took this very seriously, and when they were found out, well, we know the end. Now, let's look at their wicked motive to withhold. What brought Ananias and Sapphira down was the temptation to hold back part of the seal of their possession. They were not up front, but they told a lie. Now, you'll notice that this was suggested by Satan. And in verse 3, Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" And again, like the Garden of Eden, here's the devil at work suggesting and filling their minds with these ideas. And Satan is there to entice sin. So this was certainly not a godly motive. It was not a spiritual motive, but it was following through on the devil's suggestion. And he is always there to confuse and confound and to destroy some of the very best things that might be done in God's work. And so he steps in to turn a good thing into evil. He stirs their heart to hold back for themselves. Now, obviously, it was their own love of money. It was their own avarice, their own desire for comforts in this life. And it must have been really hard after selling their own property, holding all that cash in their hands or in a bag, and stuffing all that money into a bag to give it to the apostles and not hold back some of it. That must have been a very big, real temptation to their minds. And I can see Ananias, the husband, looking at Sapphira and saying to her, "Hush, this is what we're going to do. Don't say a word." And so they are both in on this act together. By the way, Sapphira's name is taken from the sapphire stone, a very brilliant, clear stone. But now her name forever is tarnished because of this crime that they committed together. Now, it was wicked because it required a lie. They had to carry this lie all the way to the synagogue, to the house of God, to the apostles, and there they let this lie continue. Now, it wouldn't look good, or it wouldn't sound good in their realm if the news got out. Well, Ananias and Sapphira had a field, they sold it, and they gave 60% of the seal value to God's work in the church. And they kept the other percentage for themselves. Now, if they had made that known and done that with openly, that might well have been in order. But they wanted the fame. They wanted the recognition of men. They wanted everyone to think that they were giving their everything. And all the while, they were holding back. And so this was the big lie. Then also it required both of them to lie. They had to both give the impression. And as it all played out, when Ananias was firstly challenged by Peter, well, when he lied, he fell dead. And then later when his wife Sapphira came in, and she also lied, and she fell dead. And so you can see how this crime multiplied and caused both of them to commit that sin. Also, it was not done in faith, because if they had believed the Lord that he would reward them, he would bless them for their giving, then they would have given their all, believing God will take care of them. And so this holding back is a marker of their unbelief. We need to be in control of this ourselves. We not know what bills might come up down the road and how to pay them. Let's hold it back. And all of it was an act of unbelief. And this little hoard of money was stashed away perhaps for a rainy day, but they were going to depend on themselves and their own little stash rather than lean on the Lord. They did not trust the church to use these funds properly, because if they were committed to the apostles and to the work of the church, then they would go directly to God's work and to his kingdom. But they didn't trust that. And of course, it must have brought offense to the apostles. This was a lie, but it was also a lack of trust in their care and their distribution of the funds. And so this became wicked in that it was unbelieving, untrusting, and divisive within the church. And we see the wickedness of this whole matter. Now we move.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now, just for a one-to-one talk that we might learn how you can be saved, how you can know peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus. Well, in one way it's very simple. In the other way, it's impossible. It's impossible if you try to do it yourself. If you think that you can make yourself good enough or turn over a new leaf, or if you can clean up your own act and start weighing the matter of doing more good deeds than evil deeds. That is a very skewed idea of salvation. No, salvation's very easy when you come to the point where you know you're bankrupt, where you recognize that you're lost and that you need to be saved. Like a drowning man or woman floundering in the open waters, and every splash you make is but another dive into death. And when you recognize that spiritually you are dying without hope, then you cry out, "Save me." And that's why Jesus came into the world. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And that's the Savior you need, the Lord Jesus Christ. And upon that cross, he died. He shed his blood to save your soul. If I can be of personal help to you, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. I would talk to you just one-to-one, open the Bible, and pray with you. Let's do it today. Give me a call at 604-897-2040. That's my personal phone number. It'll come directly to me, Ian Gallagher. I want to be as a pastor to you, to just talk with you the Word of God, the good news of the gospel, and I will pray that the Lord will draw you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. Or perhaps you just want to let me know you've listened in, heard the message, and it has been good for your soul. That's my prayer. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.